Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday, where we answer questions that people have sent in. And we do have a boatload of questions that have come in, Angel. So let's just jump in it right here.
All right, Joe. We have a 2-year-old, and my husband wants another child. Frankly, I'm not sure I can do it again. I can't decide if I'm wrong for not wanting to make my husband happy or if he's wrong for putting pressure on me. Any thoughts?
Well, sure. I got lots of thoughts about that. Every time I'd have a baby, we had six. And I wanted a big family. My father and my father-in-law had 12 in their family. Mm-hmm. So we came from big families. People said, were you Mormon? Were you Catholic? I said, no, we were backslidden Baptists. We just had a lot of kids, grew up on a farm. You had kids to put them to work, not because you wanted babies. My grandmother had her first baby before she was 16. And so it's just what you did. Well, that generation kind of passed.
Yeah.
So my dad came along and he got married. He said, I want one each. One boy, one girl. God made two kinds. That's the only one thing I want. So I have one sister, no brothers. So I come along, a third generation. I get married. I said, no, I want a bigger family. I want some kids. I want somebody to, you know, take me to dinner and, you know, send me on a cruise and, you know, and buy me a Winnebago. I expect my kids to do something. And so I wanted a big family. So anyhow, I wanted a lot. So the first one came, and we already had our mind made up, both me and my wife, that we wanted a lot of kids. So we had the first. So a year and a half later, we have a second baby. So we had two babies in less than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't messed with because we wanted that. And that's the difference. It's like, what do you want? So you need to talk before you say, I do.
Well, I know, but they're not. They were past that, you know.
Yeah, we're past that. So anyhow, let's finish this, kind of balance this out. And so we waited 5 years before we had a third one. We thought, well, we thought we wanted five. And so we had two. We thought, what were we thinking? We don't want five. Dear Lord, we can't hardly handle two. And I've been there. I know what it is. Man, you don't have your time for yourself or for your spouse. You know, you're changing diapers and somebody needs something to eat and pooped on something. And it's just nonstop. So when the second went off to kindergarten, we'd never been alone, you know, the last 7 years. So we had a third one. I thought, What were we thinking? So 5 years go by again, and I'm telling the truth. And all of a sudden, I thought, well, you know, we're getting older. Let's just have one more. And so we dropped three babies in 2.5 years. So I looked at my wife, she got pregnant. And people said, what happened? So I asked God for five. He gave us six. God does above and beyond all you can ask or think. Now, six kids will not make you holy or famous. It'll make you insane and broke if you don't know what to do with them when they show up. But God just blessed. We were just blessed. We came from big families. We had reunions when we saw big families. We saw some that did it right and some that did it dumb. So we realized it's up to us. Mm. There's no magic thing here. There's no magic ball, no magic wand. If you're going to have a great family, you will determine that. And so we decided we're going to learn about parenting. We need to know. So we start reading some parenting books, you know, because they're going to be here forever.
Hey, you got off the question a little bit there.
Well, let's go right back to it again.
Well, here's the thing. You know, somebody said to me one time, I had two children, a boy and a girl, and they said, well, you know, the Bible says be fruitful and multiply. You just duplicated. So, I think that there's a lot of stuff to take into consideration. Do you see yourself? I didn't think I could have kids for 10 years.
Yes.
I did not get pregnant.
Yes.
But I could never see myself growing old without children.
Yes.
And personally, this is my personal opinion. I don't have any scripture about it or anything. To me, it's sad when there's just an only child, especially as they grow older. Like if something were to happen to you and your husband, that child would be alone. And that to me is sad.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm not there raising that child.
Yep.
You're having to choose that. So,
But when you make choices, you need knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one of the things. You know, I would not want to have just one child. At least they have a, they got a sibling they call, go to, visit with, you know, if all of a sudden, and then we've been through the big family, we go through this, parents die, grandparents die. Okay, who's going to take care of the funeral? Well, it's just you, big boy. You're the lonely one. Ooh. Who's going to pay the bill? You, big boy. Who's going to help when they're sick? That's you, big boy. Who are they going to live with? That's you, big boy. And all of a sudden you realize this is life. This isn't a baby. This is life.
Yeah.
And there's billions and billions of people that have done it for long, for thousands of years. So just read a few books and realize, hey, you started the process, but now that you're on the road, you're going to drive on a dirt road or a paved road or a four-lane road or a six-lane highway. What are you going to do? So you got to make a decision. It's not really about...
Plus, listen, you says here that you have a two-year-old. When you have a two-year-old, you are so exhausted.
The thought
of having another one, I can remember it took everything.
Oh.
My parents would have to come by, help me get my child dressed. Then I would get dressed because my husband would be out of town on Sunday for church. It took all, you know, just like I thought, how could you have two? How do people do it with two? Well, by the time I had the second one, you figure it out.
Yes, you do.
It just is a natural morphing. So, you know, I mean, it's hard to make a decision when you're feeling pressure like
that. As a parent of six, I'll tell you, when we had our third child, it got easy as a greased banana peel because now they can help each other.
Mm-hmm.
I said, help your sister get dressed. Grab a diaper, change your sister's diaper. You know, get their shoes, help them get their shoes on. And so all of a sudden I realized we had manual labor, and people laugh about that, make jokes. It's the truth.
Well,
it's the truth.
I've heard that. I never made it that far, but I can remember. I can remember the day when I said to my kids, could you just let mommy close her eyes for just a moment?
I know, man.
And they did.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. The heavens open. I could hear an angelic choir singing.
Sanity came back.
Sanity came back, yes.
So just think about it. There's once you start the process, this isn't just a little short thing. Well, we want one. Well, think about
and,
it.
But it feels like it's forever.
It does.
And then you hit teenage years and you go, what I would give for some of those sleepless nights of toddler.
Yeah, I know. Oh, Lord.
And then they become adults and even more so.
It does not end. It does not. It's a lifetime process.
It is
what it is. But it'll be great. You'll love it.
Pray about it. Follow peace.
Yes.
That's what
that's real good.
Yes. So, all right. Now, Joe, this one kind of hits home a little bit. My wife wants to watch TV to go to sleep, and I can't sleep like that, even if the volume is off. Is there a scripture I can refer to that says she has to stop doing this? If not, can you make one up? Easy, big boy.
Okay. I got a lot of scriptures I can start spitting out. Peace, be still. Angel was single for, 12 years? And so she went to sleep with that TV on every night. I never go to...
Because, you know, you just needed something.
Something noise somewhere.
Yep, I needed some noise.
So I can't go to sleep unless it's dark and quiet. And so those first few weeks, I'm sorry. So she'd fall asleep and I'd get up and go turn it off. And all of a sudden, I wake up and it's back on again. Wouldn't you wake up to go to the bathroom, turn the TV on? What is this? And so we've had some serious conversations about this. And most of the time it's on, but every now and then I'll open my eyes and that TV's on. The volume's down, but I can see it's like the other night for a long time, I woke up and I said, hey, Angel, can you turn that down? I'm trying to sleep.
No, wait. That is not how it goes. That's not. I was trying to sleep and you go. You get up to go to the restroom, and then I'm just, you know, kind of like, I'm a light sleeper, so I woke up, and then you go, it's hot in here.
It was.
And then you go, could you turn that volume down? And I'm like, all right, is there any other requests that you got going on right here in the middle of the night?
Because
I'm going to get up and take care of it all.
Well, I think it's real biblical. God designed the human to sleep a third of their life. One third of their life. Mm-hmm. You're going to spend one asleep. Well, you can't sleep if you're awake and there's noise and people are talking. And it's just some goofy program where God's interviewing people that are fighting all the time. You know, some doctor, somebody. He's really good. But daytime, you don't want to watch that at night. So people are yelling and they're fighting with one. I said, I'm trying to get some peaceful sleep. Be still and know that I'm God. You know, quiet. I can't listen to that and sleep. Shut that off. So just for years, I thought, you know, I don't want no TV in my bedroom. Dear Lord, shoot that thing. Get that thing out of here. And so I tell my kids, go to sleep, get up, turn the TV on if you want to do something. But no, not at night. So for years, I wouldn't let my kids have a radio, a TV, a cell phone in their bedroom.
Mm.
I don't want you getting a bad habit like your butt, because you're going to have some kids.
Like your new wife.
And so anyhow, there's some decisions that'll have to be made. But you know, if I was counseling somebody pre-marriage right now, and I've said it, pre-marriage guys, get the TV out of your bedroom, shut the noise off. If you can't sleep, get up, go to the living room. Turn on 12 TVs, take a dance, do square dancing, but not in the bedroom. Bedroom's quiet and dark, and you sleep. That's what it's made for. Praise God. And that's a simple answer.
And maybe someday we'll apply that to our personal lives.
Till then, we're writing more books about it. Another bestseller coming out.
Woo! Okay. Joe, two or three times a year, it seems like my husband and I go through a week or two where it seems like our patience with each other is very, very low.
Welcome to life.
It seems like everything I do irritates him and everything he does irritates me. Is that normal? We usually get along pretty good except for these little windows of time.
Yeah, that makes you normal. I don't know anybody that doesn't go through that. Everybody's the same. You know,
I'm happy all the time. I don't... Because that is a little bit too big of a laugh.
that's a funny thing you just said. And we are most of the time real mellow one another, real open. Angel's incredibly kind, loving, giving, always thinking about somebody else. But every now and then, about three times a year, then all of a sudden that well will run dry. And the minute her mouth opened, I realized, the well's dry.
Funny you don't respond as if that's what
you're
thinking.
Well, I try to be quiet. What I try to do is just leave the room. So I'll go to my office. And I go to have an office at the house. So I go there and I'll do some studies. And she'll come in sometimes. She'll say, are you okay? And we'll settle it every time. We do it biblically. And she's come in sometimes to tell me I needed to apologize. I said, well, I'm sorry that you feel bad. But we do get face to face. I think we're very biblical in how we handle it. And then eventually we'll both say, well, honey, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I did something wrong. That upset you. I'm learning. We're newlyweds and we're still learning about one another. And we'll be doing it till Jesus comes. I will never totally figure you out in this lifetime, but I'm getting better every day. Every day I'm growing and I'm getting better, but I will never totally figure you out. So there's going to be another time where we're probably going to strike iron with one another and some sparks are going to fly. But it's not because I don't love you. I'm just still learning about you. And that's a great answer. That is a great answer. So.
Yeah. I mean, it is a good answer and it's true. I mean, everybody goes through time.
Yes, they do.
Just
you're normal.
Every once in a while, you both hit the bad time at the
same
time.
Yeah, the well went dry with both of them at the same time and that's not a good moment.
Well, yeah. Right. It's not.
You're normal. You're normal.
All right, Joe, could you suggest some good resources to learn about finances and budgeting? The current economic situation has changed things for me a lot and I've never really taken control of our finances. I have got to start actively doing something now.
Yeah, our buddy in Franklin, Tennessee is probably the best.
Well, I mean, you've written.
Yes, I've got a great book on finances. It's very common sense, loaded with the scriptures. It is family finances, and so it's just common sense. You open it up, it's really big. It's a big book. It's not a thick book. A lot of white on the paper, so we don't overload you. But, man, it's all biblical.
And it's there's a workbook, too.
And there's a workbook, and you can fill out the blanks and how you do a budget and who do you owe, why do you owe, how much do you owe, and get your finances together. So God does the supernatural, but we do the natural, you know. Moses lifted up the staff, God parted the water. They walked around the walls, you know, for a week, and God made the walls drop. You have to do the natural. So what's the natural? Every human needs a budget. You know, yeah. God's got a stewardship. What I steward, he will watch over it. What I don't steward, he won't touch. So what do you steward? You need a budget. 97% of all American families have no working budget. Mm-hmm. They don't know how much they owe or how much they earn or where it's going. So the greatest you can ever do is just get a budget. So my book's great, but there are a lot of great books out there. Dave Ramsey, Joe McGee, they're both really good common sense books. Yeah. And mine's loaded with scriptures. That's why I like mine the best. Because we went through that years and years and years ago. I went through that where I went, you know, ended up loading up credit cards, owed everybody. And so twice I put the credit cards in the oven and I rolled them up. But you can't function without a credit card today. We can't get on a plane, rent a car. Everything we do, we need a card. So we carry two cards, one personal, one business. And we know when we use them, and there's a limit. And we know what we cover. Angel's perfect today. I married I married a banker. She knows numbers frontwards and backwards, so she's strong where I'm weak in that area.
That is not true.
But I'm telling you, we've gotten so much better. So just get a budget. Best thing you'll ever do. And then you can make wise decisions.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to buy that. Well, what is it? Look at the budget. You have it in the bank account? No, you're not going to buy that.
Well, and you know what? If you're interested in getting that, and there's a lot of other good resources at JoeMcGee.com, you can check it out. Okay, Joe, I'm single, and I want to know why women get to grade themselves on their looks by how they look with makeup on. Guys don't get to wear makeup and false eyelashes and all that. I know it's not going to change, but it is so obviously rigged. Seems like false advertising.
Sure it is. But I will tell you, I am a man, last time I checked, and I've seen both in high school, college, in the military, men spend almost as much time in front of a mirror as women do.
That is the truth. I have a brother-in-law.
That guy was
worse than any woman I have ever seen.
I'm just telling you, it is a two-sided deal. And so it's not exactly like you think it is. There's many people. It's human nature. We're obsessed with ourselves. How do I look? Do I look okay? And I tell people don't care how you look. They care how you treat them. Mm. They don't care how you look. And so we've all had friends in our life who are, as my buddy said, uglier than a mud fence. But incredible good friends. Give their life, go the second mile for you, help you. And you realize, man, I like you. Is it because you look good? Well, no, you don't look good at all, but I really like you. I'll give you anything you need. Can I help you do something? I'll help you move. Because it's what people do. It's not how they look. And so you got to get past that shallow thing. Nobody cares. They really don't care. And so,
you know, when we had our little corona break where nobody was going to work or anything, and you're wearing pajamas all day, every day. And I finally, after like 3 weeks, fixed my hair and did makeup. And I was like, Joe, you remember this?
Oh, yeah. Lord.
You know, most of the time I wear makeup to feel better about me.
Yes.
But are we indoctrinated with all of that to sell a product? Yes.
Sure. Yes, we are. Every commercial on any TV program you've watched all your life, it's the pretty women. It's the lovely women and the beautiful hair, and they're all skinny and they got the lipstick on. Well, I grew up in a house full. I grew up in a big family. I don't remember any of the women in my family wearing makeup. They were country women. They were canning something, cooking something, fixing something, ironing something. Nobody had makeup on. You're working. We had work. And I'm talking about when they worked at home. They worked hard. Mm. And so then when the two income families came along, you went to work. Well, then the women started wearing makeup because they got to go to work. But she didn't wear it at home. And so why are you wearing it at work? Well, because I don't want to look like the doofus, you know, the group. And so we adjusted. And so I got five daughters. I know what that's like. Yeah, I tell them before you go and leave, we'd leave the house. And I'd say, hey, comb your hair. Put some makeup on. You know, I don't want you to look like a $2 streetwalker, but put some makeup on. So all my daughters, I took down to a local big department store place, and all day long, they learned how to put on makeup. I don't know anything about makeup, your face size, how do you wear your hair, how do you wear the mascara. You don't want to look like something from Zoo, but I'm going to teach you how to wear makeup properly. And so you don't want to attract attention, but you don't want to, either way, overdone, underdone, just do it right and then try to live your life normal.
It's funny, I can remember when my daughter said she wanted to start wearing makeup.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, you know, what we'll do is we'll go on Saturday. We'll drive over to Orlando. We were living in Florida at the time. We'll go over there and we'll have a treat. We'll eat at P.F. Chang's. We all love P.F. Chang's. And so if you tell my son, hey, we're going to go to P.F. Chang's, there's nothing else that you have to say. He'll get in the car. So he got in the car and we were driving over there and he goes, no, wait, what are we going over here for? And I said, oh, your sister's going to get a makeover. So I guess he thought clothes, you know, I don't know what he thought. So we get there and we go all over and finally get to the makeup department. And I said, I start talking to Leigh. I said, you know, she would like to start wearing makeup. She needs a makeover. And if you could just kind of teach her, but you know, something that's appropriate for her age and everything. And, so I kind of glanced over at the corner of my eye, looked over, and my son's standing there with his arms folded, glaring over at me. And
You hooked me, Mom.
I go, what is your problem? And he goes, you're going to regret this.
Yes.
I'm going to have to start working out or something to take care of my sister. We're going to regret it. she, you know, I don't want guys looking at her. So it's kind of cute.
It was.
It was cute. My little son, he's a lot of talk when it comes to puffing up.
but for the lady that's asked the question, if everybody deals with it, it'll never change. And so, maybe need to do like, you know, you did with your daughter. Go somewhere. Hey, how can I put my makeup on? Let's keep it as reasonable as we can. And I will tell you this, as a father who had daughters, buy the nice makeup, not the cheap stuff. Because the cheap stuff wears off about 2 hours into the day, and you look scary by the time you go home from work. So buy good makeup.
All right, Joe. Makeup lessons by Joe.
Okay.
All right. Hey, guys, we so enjoyed being with you again. Please catch us on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Yes.
Check out all sorts of stuff about what we're doing, where we're going on JoeMcGee.com. We love you.
Love you guys. Bye-bye. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.